Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I deal with thoughts, brothers and sisters, and I find reproof from the Lord for thoughts, and I never speak them. Never let the thoughts express themselves. But it still troubles me in my spirit that there's thoughts that come to my mind that try to manipulate the way I think, because the battleground is in the thoughts. But I was dealing with a man here as of late. I was going through some things and some problems. Helped with finances and stepped out and met needs in finances and provisions when I was in need myself and helped this individual. But it alarms me when I see ungratefulness or a lack of appreciation in people. It does trouble me. It's not the motivating factor for me to do, but it troubles me for their sake. If you listen to me a moment, there's a purpose of why I'm saying the things that I'm saying, and I'm continually checking my own heart. The individual called me, expressed a need, and I guess he thought that I was going to drop what I was doing and come to his need, and I've done that. And I'm a servant, and I want to be at the Lord's service. But also I got to be careful because sometimes I could be trying to help the needs of somebody and getting in God's way at the same time. But then yet I expressed some things and gave him some counsel and advice and told him what to do that was within his abilities and capabilities. Sometimes when people do something for themselves, they have an appreciation and more of a respect. And I said, well, I told you what to do. Yesterday. Did you do it? No. And I told him how to do it, and he said, man, it's hard. You know, that's back there. Well, is it going to be any harder for me to come over and do it? So I'm going to get in my vehicle, and I'm going to drive, you know, 30 miles to come work on your vehicle. Is it going to be any harder for you? You know, at least make an effort. This isn't what I said. This is the way I think. And many times I watched for the mind of the Lord, and I said, well, and I told him this. This is what you need to do. I'll tell you again. And I told him what I need to do. Well, directly 2 or 3 hours later, I get a call back. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. This is what the car was saying. Man, hallelujah, man. It's working good and this and that. I hope. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. It sounds like I'm again, but I'm talking about spirits. You see, maybe it should be praise God, hallelujah, when things are rough and then the things could turn around. But is that what it takes to move us? Are we praise God, hallelujah, when our bills are paid? Or praise God, hallelujah, when our lights are burning? Praise God, hallelujah, when our car's running right? See, that should be something in our heart and our spirit on a continuous basis. A gratitude and a thankfulness to God should be continually. Something in our heart should always be testifying and praising. We read the stories about our examples in the Bible. So oftentimes we speak about the disciples when they're going out to be beaten for his name's sake and rejoicing and praising God and magnifying his name. Is it in you? Is it in your heart? What's in your heart? What's in your mind? What's in your thoughts? We need to have the mind of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Brother Ed Luffman made a suggestion to me. They said I probably ought to read a prayer to you, share it with you. Just talking with you a little bit. But I will say this, that I was praying last night off over 2-3 o'clock in the morning, maybe. I don't know. And I was talking to the Lord and praying. Sometimes I'll pray for a little while, and then I was over working on a book, some writings and different things. I got all kinds of things started. That's why I need to pray, if I can finish some of the things I started. Well, I started going over another direction, and I found this intercession in my spirit because I've been praying. So I pushed the button on my computer. I had it in my lap because I was working on it anyway, but I pushed a button and pulled up a new page. And I started expressing the intercession in my heart and putting it down. And I thought, why, Lord? Why would this be? I don't know why. So I did that, and I mentioned it to Brother Ed, and he said, well, maybe it's meant for us to read it. I said, it may be. It might be to unveil my weakness, but then yet I got such a strength. I could speak of my weakness, and in my weakness I found strength. If you bear with me a minute, this won't take but a minute to read this. And maybe it could help somebody in some way. There's many prayers expressed over in the book of Psalms of people's spirit going out to God. And that's what we need to learn to do. We need to learn to be transparent to God because he sees everything anyway. But when he knows you see your weaknesses, then that's when he can give you strength. I guess this would be okay to read. Some of you here, we pray, and I try to pray, and I try to be an example. My prayer life is different when I'm between than it is when I pray with you in a for a service and for our services and for the needs of people and my own needs than I find sometimes different when I'm praying. But this is where I found the Lord, the Spirit. I could testify that there's a Spirit of Christ that prays through me. There's a Spirit of Brother Rob, too, cries out in its weakness. And there's a Spirit, brothers and sisters, that the man has to express weakness to find strength. The Spirit of God doesn't ever express weakness. I know how to speak to you by both. Sometimes you need to see the humility of a man for you can find the strength of God and the Holy Ghost. Let me read this to you. Hopefully it'll help you. Maybe it'll help you to know how to pray for me. Amen. Most gracious Father, I thank you for your mercies and your grace. I know that I'm not worthy to enter into your presence, except that you paid the way for me by your blood shed at Calvary. Thank you. I'm sorry for the weakness that I have shown in my flesh and unbelief. You have shown yourself to me time and time again and proven yourself to me over and over. I should be walking in the power and strength of the Holy Ghost, but again I find failure in my flesh. God, I don't want to speak and give strength to the enemy, but I'm speaking to you in my weakness, for I can draw strength from you. I feel ashamed because you have never left me nor forsaken me, and you have always been there for me. I've been at sleep's threshold, but you added numbers to my life, to my days. When I look around me, I see your handiwork and blessings. You are such an awesome God. I'm so unworthy. I should be shouting from the rooftops of your awesomeness, but I find despair in my heart. Why, O God, would I ever question you? Why would I ever doubt? There must be an enemy that lays within the members of my flesh that puts thoughts of unbelief and doubt. Because in my heart I find peace that surpasses all understanding. I truly know in my heart that all things work together for my good because I love you. I would not even know what love is except you taught it to me by your example at Calvary. I want to live and show the love you gave me. I want to be used for your glory. I want to show and teach faith by example. Oh God, as I see the adversary move in against me, help me to stand like a good soldier for Christ. Let me not flinch in his sight. Strengthen me before him, Lord. Lord, as you strengthened the Son of Man's hands in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he sought for heavenly strength, I know that you are no respecter of persons, and you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. So again, as I petition the throne of grace by faith in your finished works at Calvary, I ask you, Almighty God, to move in my midst against the enemy of my mind that tries to put unbelief in my thoughts. Teach me, God, to establish my thoughts. Teach me to think on the things that are above. Teach me to walk in the straight paths. Oh God, show yourself through me. Reveal your love and your ways in me. Oh God, use me to bring honor to your name. Jesus, I know that I am inexcusable because you have proven yourself over and over to me. God, I am going to stand by the power of your word. I know that in my weakness you will show your strength. I know that the battle must be won in my thoughts. Oh God, give me the mind of Jesus Christ. I know, God, that without faith, I cannot please you or know you. God, fill my heart with faith. Oh God, you have given me in times past the gift of faith to exercise authority over the adversary, Satan. God, I know you defeated him at Calvary, and I know that you granted me the Holy Ghost, the power to conquer him today. Oh God, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Equip me with the weapons of warfare that I can fight the good fight of faith. Lord, I feel so unworthy to petition your throne because I see that my problems are nothing compared to the problems that I see and have seen around the world. I can truly testify and rejoice that I live in the house of plenty. I have truly seen the floodgates of heaven open for me, and you have truly poured out an abundance on me, both spiritual and natural. My gratitude and appreciation and words of expression seem so inadequate. God, let me show my appreciation by example. Let your light so shine in me. Make a way when there seems to be no way. When it seems impossible, make it possible. I know your word is real, O God. I rejoice. I know that you have given me sight to see beyond the veil. Thank you. I know that it is truly by your mercies and kindness. Thank you seems cheap. It doesn't express my heart. It doesn't seem to satisfy this yearning in my soul. I find myself praying in words that can't be uttered or understood in this language to express my gratitude. Teach me, Lord, to pray. Teach me to praise. Teach me to love. Teach me to expect the supernatural. Teach me to believe. Teach me never to doubt. Oh God, I want to bring all your promises to pass in my life. I want the people of this world to see that you are still alive and on the throne by expressing yourself in my life. Oh God, fill me with your Spirit. Let me stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let me be unmovable. Don't let me be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Anoint me, O God, with the power of your Spirit. Let your power equip me to walk beyond reproach. Help me to keep myself unspotted from this world. Let me, O God, have a good name within and without. Fill my heart with expectation. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for strength. Thank you for power. Thank you for life. O God, let me be a soul winner. Let me bring a hope to the hopeless. Let me be an example to the fellow pastors and ministers. Make a way, O God. Don't let me fail. Don't let me get weary in well-doing. Don't let me have shipwrecked faith. Oh God, as I enter into your presence with thanksgiving in my heart and praise, I just want to thank you. I love you, Lord. Let me show the world the love I have for you. Let me show the world that it is possible to walk in perfection. Let the perfection that you gave me before the world ever was be made manifest and made known in my life by example. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my home. Thank you, Lord, for transportation. I know that there are so many people that don't have the provisions that you have granted unto me. I truly have tried to share the things that you have given unto me and even shared out of my own need. You have always supplied according to your riches and glory. Thank you. I know you have given me everything that pertained to this life, both natural and spiritual. And again, I want to say thank you. I love you, Lord. Jesus, you are the one and only God. I know that there is no other beside you. You are my God, my provider, the lily of my valley, the bright and morning star, my deliverer, my healer, my savior, my redeemer, my hope, my trust. You are light to my path. Thank you. Thank you. I feel I've failed you. But when I pray, you ensure me and give me hope. When I feel weak and heavy laden, I pray and you lighten my load. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I feel unworthy and I pray, you encourage me and give me strength to continue. When the pain in my body seems to overwhelm me, I pray and I find that your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry that I ever complained. Please forgive me. I have nothing to complain about because I am rich, blessed, because of you. Thank you, Lord. You've given me everything. You've given me things that money can't buy. You've given me things that the world will never see. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, that I entertained unbelief in my thoughts. It makes me feel unclean, but when I pray, I find that you cleanse and refresh me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for chastening me, guiding me, leading me, and giving me strength. God, let me be a better dad, brother, friend. Let me be a encourager to others, a strength to them that are weak, a light to them that are in darkness, a hope to the hopeless. Thank you, Lord, for all the opportunities you have given me. Thank you. Let me store away heavenly treasures. Let me look to the well-being of others. Let me prefer others before myself. Teach me, O God. Lead me, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I love you, Jesus. I can't say amen because there is no close to my love and appreciation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know if it'll help you or not, but I find strength. I find strength, amen. Brothers and sisters, again, we have to learn to be transparent with the Lord. Transparency lets the man be weak. Humility lets the man find weakness. But there is a strength, an inner strength, that is unmovable in the face of the enemy. It's unmovable. As I expressed in the prayer, I said, Lord, don't let me flinch. I found myself in a travail because of thoughts. They've come to my mind and tried to put unbelief in my heart. And there's no room for unbelief in my heart because God's filled my heart with his strength and his power. Substance and the materialistic things of this world are not how I measure faith in God. Brothers and sisters, there's people that are put in boxes and dying and perishing and going into hell that have every materialistic thing that you can have and want and desire. That's not where my heart is. That's not what shows faith. That is not the vindication of faith in a man's heart. Faith, brothers and sisters, is something that moves mountains, something that sets people free. As again, I found the Spirit of God expressing in me that there's things that I have that the world cannot have, they'll never see, and finances and money will never purchase and never buy. They'll never see it. As I said, this individual called and rejoicing and praising God when there was something that he saw come to pass, something that was repaired. And that's okay, I'm not against that. But are we in a place sometimes that we could be so shallow, brothers and sisters, that we're rejoicing and praising God and our God's alive because what we see with our eyes is all taken care of? Is your God a healer when you're in sickness? Is your God a provider when you're in poverty? To see, he's unchangeable. But we, through unbelief and doubt, sometimes we change an unchangeable God because of the power of thoughts in our own life and the way that we allow things. The battleground is sometimes in thought. The battle, brothers and sisters, if he gives us the fruit of our thoughts, what kind of thoughts are we having? What do we think on? When the Bible teaches us to think on the things that are godly and holy and virtuous and righteous and the things that are above. But when our thoughts are in this world and thinking about the things of this world on a continuous basis, I know we live in this world, brothers and sisters. And we can say, well, I'm going to stay home and just keep my thoughts on God. He's going to make a way. Well, when you're at home thinking with your thoughts on God, he's going to say, hey, get a mind to work. Well, if I get a mind to work, I got to have my thoughts in the world. You see, this is where we have to learn to understand and comprehend. As I said about the scriptures the other day where Brother Paul expressed that God did not send him to baptize but to preach doctrine. But the doctrine that he was called to preach told him to baptize. And see, the thing is that the doctrine that I'm here to teach and to preach will command me to labor, command me to work, and not to be part of the work industry, the work field, not to be part of it, but I could be there, brothers and sisters, without being in it. I live in a world with heathen people, but I'm not of this world. My spirit dwells in heaven. My thoughts are heavenly. My thoughts are raptured. My thoughts are godly. So when I come amongst the people of this world, I need to have a heavenly mind, a heavenly thought, the mind of Christ. I need to think in a different way than they think. I need to speak in a different way than they speak. And if my thoughts are not right or pure or clean or virtuous, it is going to manifest in action in my life. Some of us haven't come to the revelation of the strength of words. And we allowed words to come out of our mouths that are not at all going to bring words of edification, exhortation, or comfort to the ears of the hearer. I was speaking with Brother Stan about an individual. And I said the individual's motivations are preeminent to himself. When we are always speaking in a defense of ourself, there's a problem. The Bible said, ye that testify of yourself, your testimony is not true. And we could take, and so that's talking about that one and me. I could testify about myself. I don't have a testimony about myself. If I have a testimony, it's about him. And he might have used this vessel to make himself known or manifest himself in this present day and hour, but the honor and glory goes to him. And the only testimony I have is that I could die for he could live. Amen. That's the only testimony I have. And there we have to be cautious, brothers and sisters, because, like I say, it depends on where you're looking from. I made a statement the other day from the sacred desk. I said, you know, I could say, oh, wretched man that I am. I could say that I am no good and worthless, because that's the way I feel is my flesh to offer to God. There's nothing good in the flesh. But then, yeah, you could say, well, I say that, and you say that and bring judgment to you. You could say, yeah, that preacher's no good. He's a wretched, no good individual. And you bring judgment to yourself. Well, he said it. You see, there's a difference. There is a difference. I don't know if you could see that or discern that or understand that. You've heard me say this in times past, and hopefully it wasn't me saying it, was the Spirit of God expressing itself through me. But the Word of God is not written for you. It's written for others. If the Word of God, when I read it for me, it says to prefer my brother greater than myself, to seek after your finances before I seek after my own. That's why I could say what I just expressed. When I read the Word of God, I'm not reading it for me, I'm reading it for you. And you say, I don't know about that. This is when we get out of the way. Did Jesus come to this world for himself or for you? Did Jesus come into this world to show himself as the provider and the great King of all and the Lord of provision? No, he came here to show you how you are to express yourself as a man, as a God-man. The principles to success in the kingdom of God into the spiritual realm to the man is weakness. Man wants to testify of his strength, of his understanding, of his power, of his understanding, of his mind, of his education, of his learning, of his ability, of his skills. That's what man wants to do. But that gets in God's way. I remember a song. It's easy to say the right things. It's easy to talk about that. It's easy to have him upon your mouth. But is it in your heart? Is it expressing from your heart? But this woman said in this song that you never stood so tall except when you was on your knees in prayer, that you stand taller than you ever stood before. You see, brothers and sisters, we have to learn to analyze and judge things from another realm. The Bible said it was the man that had his head hanging down that wouldn't even look up towards heaven that went away justified than the other one full of pride. Are you proud to be a Christian? Oh, I'm a Christian. Praise God. Look at the rest of these people. I'm in the right doctrine. Look at all these sorry, no good individuals. You see, that's not the way we think. Brothers and sisters, the more understanding we come to, the more accountability we're in, the more expectation God has of you and I. He doesn't let us come to some mind of Christ or some kind of revelation that we could esteem ourselves greater than anybody else. The mind of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the Lord is humility, and it's equipping you with a mind of suffering. The mind of Christ isn't given to us to exalt us as somebody special. The mind of Christ exalts Him and Him only. And all goes to Him, and all glory, all honor, all praise goes to Him. If He would just use us and speak through us and express Himself through us, that is the most glorious honor that could be given to man. That's why the Bible says give honor to who honor's due. That's the only time honor would be given to a man, is because the man removed himself out of the way and truly crucified the members of his mind, the members of his flesh, the members of his thoughts, the members of his ideas, and said, God, it's not my wants, not my desires, it's not my way. Lord God, it's your way. This is why the Lord sometimes suffers us to do things. This is why sometimes He puts us into situations that are uncomfortable in our flesh. The dreams that come from God are the dreams that trouble us. And sometimes it's the vision that God asks us to do are the ones that when we find a resistance down within man. But you know, when we're jumping at the bits and, you know, oh, praise God, you know, hey, this and that. We should be excited about doing something for God. We see when we look beyond the veil, we see them rejoicing to be beaten for His name's sake. So if they could rejoice about being beaten for His name, we should rejoice about doing something for God, yes. But we don't make our move in the perspective, brothers and sisters, of what is good and feels good to the flesh. I find myself with a repentant heart, not from things I say, from things I think. Not from the actions of I do, but from the things that are trying to birth in my thought life. I want to be in a place with God and walking with God that the hindrances of evil thoughts. I want to be in that place with Him where I'm dwelling with Him and meditating on Him and His laws in my heart day and night. That I could be in that place where I continually in prayer without ceasing. In that place that my thoughts are truly heavenly, ungodly and virtuous and holy things. But I find a travail and a warfare. That's not a hard place to stay. It's a place my heart longs for always. It's something that I'm always desiring to be in there. But then yet there's something that's relative to this world. And Satan knows how to manipulate and to move you by what he sees and what you see and by what appears. I find people rejoice and give the glory to God because they've been trained to glorify God. And they've been trained so they rejoice and glorify God because everything's going good. But when things ain't going so good, they still need to be standing, rejoicing and praising and magnifying and worshiping Him. If your Christianity is so shallow that it's only because of substance, then what is your God to you? Then your God is the God of substance and the God of this world. And you've been deceived and you've only looked at the God that appears. That's the one of this world. And I know that our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will provide to us on this side. And He'll give us thanks. For we could preach faith and teach people to believe and have faith. It would be hard for me to teach and have faith if I'm begging for bread. I understand that. But what strengthens your relationship with God? You see, brothers and sisters, I, as your pastor, have been through a lot of things over the years. I'm not testifying of myself. I'm testifying of His chastening, His judgment to get me to a place of real love with Him. 2 years ago, I could say I never fellowshipped Him in suffering physically. Never broke a bone in my life. I'd suffered some in physical things, but not like then. And I praise Him and I thank Him. Well, maybe if you was where you should have been with God, but maybe this is what brings me to where I should be. And I rejoice. Maybe if you would have been spiritual, Brother Robin, sensitive to the Lord, you wouldn't have had to go through the suffering. And I found the Son of Man learned obedience through suffering. And that's who I am. I'm the Son of Man. And you say, I don't understand that. I make myself twain, both Lord and Christ. And I want Christ to be made manifest and magnified in my life, that people could love and fall in love with Jesus and glorify and worship God. I want to be raised up and put on the cross that men could come to the Lord and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, that's what Jesus done at Calvary. And I say, yeah, I understand the God of past. And I understand the God of the future. But I'm talking about the God in the earth now. You profess yourself and express yourself to be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're the body of Christ, then you're about the Father's business. And the same Father and the same head in the body of Christ is the same head that manipulated the life of Jesus as He walked among men. And it's the same Spirit that should be dwelling in us, and it should be moving us in the very same perspectives that it moved Jesus in when He walked the earth. The world has hope today, brothers and sisters, because you're the hope in this world. You're the light in this world. You're the salvation to this world. You're the body of the Lord in this world. And it's the same head. It's Jesus, the same head that is manifesting in the earth today, that was manifested 2,000 years ago, that walked among men. And brothers and sisters, because of the things that He took care of and conquered and travailed and prevailed in, is what we're doing today. So we find that we need to be steadfast upon Him in our thoughts, that our thoughts could be virtuous and pure and godly and clean and holy and conquering, amen? And we express when it comes forth from expression as overcomers, amen? If I could express to you that I'm in health when I'm in sickness because I'm speaking by something that you don't see, and I speak that, and then it comes known and made manifest in my life, and it's vindicated. The faith is vindicated and made seen through the manifestation of the substance. So I can understand that. You see, I can understand that I could speak something that is not and bring it to something that is. Well, if that works in healing in your body, if it works in salvation when you don't feel saved, and you say, oh God, I know that You paid the price. I know that You purchased me. I know You shed Your blood for me. I know You put my name in the book before the world ever was, and I'm standing on that, and I'm unmovable, Lord God. It doesn't matter if you don't feel that way. It's what your testimony is, because your testimony's in what He done, not what you're doing. It is what He's already done. And then you find strength, and you find power, and you find the Holy Ghost, amen, because that's your confession. But where does that change? What part of this world does that not work in? You see, if there's despair in your marriage, you could speak the same thing into an existence by not speaking what you want, by believing what you see in the mind of Christ. Sometimes people confess things, oh yeah, praise God, and they speak it, but that's as far as it goes. And it's because that unbelief in their heart. And they're speaking it because that's the right way to speak, but there's unbelief in their heart. This is what I've travailed with. I say, God, I don't want that in my life. I don't want those things. I want my heart to be pure and clean. I want it to be right in tune with You. But then yet there's a war in the members that'll come in and try to speak doubt and unbelief in your mind. God, have mercy on you when you put it on your lips. Boy, it cuts me hard sometimes when I hear people speaking lack of faith and unbelief. I see things that are coming to a nation. I speak them. I see the thing of God's hand moving. And I got to be careful. And the Lord says, caution. Be careful how you speak. I'm not of this world. I can't perish with this world. I can't die with this world. Because I'm not of this world. I know that we get alarmed in our hearts, and we get alarmed thinking of devastation and destruction and judgment coming to a nation. Oh, we've been taught all of our life that this rapture is going to take place and catch us out and catch us away. You know, and we're not going to go through this tribulation. But brothers and sisters, we've been in tribulation. I've been in a tribulation and travailing with things. You know, Satan can fill a man full of his spirit, and he can walk through the door and kill us all. It's happening in other countries. You see, man, well, man, I'm afraid of something. Like, man, what is that? Don't fear that. Fear the one that could take your soul. That's not the travails, brothers and sisters. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus found tribulation in Gethsemane. His tribulation wasn't them guys coming with the swords to take him. That sounds like tribulation. Boy, I know when he was put there and they wrapped him around that post, man, and beat him 39 times. You say, man, that's tribulation. Man, he beat him beyond mar and recognition. You see, brothers and sisters, the battle was already won right before he got to that. He was already gone, brothers and sisters. If you back up all the way over to the Mount of Transfiguration, he was gone, walking and dwelling where Enoch was. But there was a motion of that side of man that had to go the route that it went. One day you'll have to rend the veil between the Lord and the Christ in your own life. If you put all of your strength and your faith in your physical being, in your physical health, in your physical substance, in your finances, in your bank, and in all those things, you are going to find yourself shipwrecked. I know that my God moves in my physical being and touches my body and heals me, gives it strength. He can help me in so many ways. But I'm not looking for the things of physical, brothers and sisters, and temporal. Physical life is temporal life. Financial substance is temporal. It all goes to rust, moth, and decay. That's not my God. That's not the things that move me. That's not the things that's got me established. There's things that can't be touched. Satan could take away everything and this world could shake and it could reel, it could everything. There won't be one stone standing on top of another. That has nothing to do with me and the kingdom of God. Do you realize what the kingdom of God is? It's not this world. This world, brothers and sisters, is like your body. It's corrupted. This world is a corrupted world. Your physical flesh was corrupted. It's corruption. It's going to corruption. It goes back to dust. It goes back to nothing. We don't put no admiration or preeminence to flesh. If we put preeminence to anything, it's into the spirit life of Jesus Christ. One could say, I've got the revelation of the Lord Jesus. I've got this understanding. Nobody else is where I'm at. Nobody's wrong. That automatically, you know, the man ain't seen nothing when he would express something like that. Because when he gets into the mind of Christ, he esteems them all greater. And there's a yearning in his bowels and his heart to teach and to lead and to guide and to love and to help. And you'll never find that in that kind of an expression. Everything in man's world, everything in man's world is to bring a preeminence to him. They put you in school as children. They teach you competitiveness. We're going to take this ball team against this ball team, and we're going to be better, and we're going to do better, and we're going to do more. And everything in the work field, it's competitiveness to get to the top. Climb that ladder, that corporate ladder. Get to the top and do this and do that. But there should be something in our hearts to press into the Word and press to be more Christ-like. And when you find yourself more Christ-like, you find that that self-esteem is departing and leaving, and it becomes Christ-esteem. Him, esteem Him in everything. All glory, all honor. Honor, all praise, all worship goes unto Him, amen. And you get out of the way and you say, God, help me, Jesus. The dream of my head troubles me. Satan, when he can't get to you in your consciousness because you're there on guard, guarding and casting down his thoughts, casting down his vain imaginations, casting down the pollution and the things that would defile. And then he waits and he wants to get you asleep and he says, man, I'm going to get his mind. When you have dreams that you're exalted and lifted up and you're somebody great, that's Satan. Don't your God ever encourage you? Yes, he does encourage me all the time. He encourages me and strengthens me, exhorts me and loves me. But brothers and sisters, the encouragement isn't to the flesh. The encouragement isn't to the motivations of this world. As I said, this individual rejoicing in the Lord because of this thing was taken care of. Yes, we should praise God and rejoice and testify when something takes place. But brothers and sisters, if that's the only time we see it, we're not seeing God. As I testified to the fact of what we read in the scriptures about these disciples going out testifying because they're going to be beaten for his name's sake. Found worthy to be beaten. For his name. Are we there? The world's in trouble, brothers and sisters, because the light is pulling back. And there's gross darkness like the world has never seen. I'm telling you right now, it's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. I read in Sodom and Gomorrah where these angels came and these wretched, filthy perverts want to have their way with these angels. And he says, look, here's my daughters. They've never been touched. These are virgins. Take them. But leave God's things alone. That's love. Could you imagine that as a father saying, take my daughters? You wonder why he made it out? Because he had love there. That's perfect love. Our Father has perfect love that he takes his son to be beaten for you and I. He showed his expression of perfect love when he sent Joseph to be put into prison. We're talking about the mind of Christ. And to suffer, to be cast out, and to be put down and mocked by his family, and to be put down and taken and put off into prison, that he could be the provider to his people, to his family. Do you understand God's ways and God's mind and God's things? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to really consider and truly examine. Let me read a little bit of scripture to you and we'll close the service. I got my Bible open here to the book of Galatians, 3rd chapter. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the books of the law and do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and thy seed which is Christ. And if this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In the law, then, against the promises of God, God forbid. For if there have been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no more longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Stand with me. I could expound on a lot of things we said, beautiful writings, to the things that are in my heart. And rend some bells in your own life Look for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost within your being. Find the strength and exercise the strength of the Holy Ghost in your life now. Don't find yourself when there's a real need of having to exercise faith. Don't find yourself in weakness. Exercise faith now that you could build up that strength in Him. Amen. Exercise faith in the way you think. Faith, brothers and sisters, you know, when we think of faith, hope, and charity, it said the greatest of these three is the charity. And charity thinketh no evil. Charity vaunteth not itself up. It's not proud. So if charity is even greater than faith, and we start speaking about charity, we could speak about finding lack of faith so oftentimes in our actions, in our vocabulary, in our speech, in our confession. I find that sometimes in my thought life, I'm thinking, whoa, I don't like this. Lord, you've been nothing but kind, nothing but good, nothing but pure, and you've always never been late, always on time. Why would for a second a thought come that would be different? Brother Pike used to have men in his presence continually warn with him. And I'd sit and think, well, why? Here's a man that's come to them to pour his heart out, to take from the years of suffering in his own physical being, the years of travail and the years of sacrifices. And he come to take time to stand before a brotherhood and say, look, this is for you. It's attainable. This is the mind of Christ. This is the revelation of the Lord. And they would sit and think, why? Why would they do that? I look into the scriptures and I see Jesus come in the same way. And they stand and say, crucify him. You know, and I think, why? Give us Barabbas. And I look at our nation and it's the same way today. They don't want anything virtue, anything righteous, anything godly, anything pure, anything clean. The only thing they want is uncleanness, filth, and perversion. And you know what's sad? The churches of America want the same thing. And they want you to think the same way that the world thinks. They want the perverts. They want the uncleanness. And they want to open up their doors for it. I think of when the Spirit of God came to Lot. Well, Lord, I'm sorry to have to come back for you, but if there would just be 20. Okay, I'm sorry, but if I could just come back before you again. I apologize. I'm sorry, but if there's this many, we're there, brothers and sisters. This is the time and this is the day. I know we want to believe that there's millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of saints that are just going to all rapture out of here and all be caught away. This is why the Lord is being long-suffering. This is why tribulation and afflictions have come, for people could examine themselves and consider and see if they be in the faith. It isn't the way they think. Some will find salvation through their own bloodshed. Do you understand that? Some will go through the tribulation that call themselves Christians, but their heart was far from God. And they're going to pay with their own blood, and they'll suffer in their own flesh to cease from sin. And that's the mercies of God. That is genuinely the mercies of God. There's so many Bible scholars who would contest that so much. But see, they don't understand dimensional perspectives. They don't understand worlds without end. They don't understand the world of the Jew, the world of the Catholic, and the world of the Protestant. They don't understand that. They don't differentiate. They don't discern it. They don't understand a man being not born of the Jewish blood seed could stand and say, I'm the true Jew. They don't see that. They don't understand that. Yet they don't also see that some men will stand judgment with the natural Jew because they think more like a natural Jew instead of a true Jew. You see, people get into one dimension. The Jew will look at you as a heretic or a heathen because you're not of the blood seed of Abraham. But we're the true blood seed of faithful Abraham. You understand that? You see, it's a different perspective, a different dimension. That doesn't violate the fact there is a dimension of a pure blood seed. This is why there was so much blood that had to be shed and go in and kill every man, woman, and child, because they didn't want that blood seed to be unclean or perverted, to keep it pure all the way through. Well, there's one now that they can't get to and they can't touch. As you can go back and read the scriptures that we just read and think on the lines of what I just said, and then it'll start maybe coming to a revelation to you instead of just some, well, you know, a... You know, faith and, you know, well, Abraham, and yeah, he was okay, man, you know. Man, get out of that. Get out of that religious lukewarm vomit. fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with His Word. Let His Spirit express Himself in you, through you. Yield your members over to Jesus. Let it be Him. Let it be Him that lives. Let it be Him. Let Him start fathering your children. Let Him start mothering your children. Let Him start teaching. Let Him start leading and guiding in everything in your life. All right, Brother Ed, let's sing a song. I appreciate you.
Room at the cross for you.
Just stand in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
For you.
Whatever your need may be tonight, if you desire faith and greater faith and strength, as we stand before Him, and your hands be lifted towards Him. Just lift up your hands. Say, here I am, Almighty God. I find myself standing here before You, Almighty God, in need tonight. Lord God, I've heard about faith all my life. I talk about faith. I've spoke about faith. And I've even witnessed faith, but Lord God, here I stand before You, Lord. And I say, Almighty God, grant the spirit of faith to me and fill my heart, Lord God, with an expectation of faith and belief, Lord God. Oh God, I want faith. I want faith that moves mountains, changes circumstances, that heals bodies and sets captives free, Almighty God. I want faith, Lord God, that restores marriages, oh God. I want faith. Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. I spoke a word of faith, and an individual was set free that was in bondage. They weren't bound by anything anybody could see. They weren't bound by anything that anybody could comprehend or understand, lest they saw it by the mind of Christ. The only way they would see or know. Brother Pike expressed about a brother that walked with us. He said, the man's in prison and he doesn't know it. He's bound in shackles and chains and in prison and he doesn't know it. He had victory in some areas that other men didn't have. Brother Pike did spend time with him because the man didn't war with Brother Pike. Brother Pike sometimes wanted to drive off with a brother and just get away a little bit, maybe go grab a sandwich or do something. And he would go with this man on numerous occasions because the man didn't wear him out, didn't press him, didn't make him feel uncomfortable. But when it came into the mind of Christ and into the Spirit, I watched Brother George exhort him one day. I was sitting right next to the man and Brother George looked at him, called him by name and said, brother, and rebuked him. Me and the man left right immediately after the rebuke. 10 to 15 minutes, Brother George, after he reproved him, he said, well, I'm going in the house. I got in the vehicle with the man, my son-in-law Pete with him. The three of us drove off to get some dinner. He said, a man has got to know where he's at with God and have an assurance and an understanding that he knows everything's all right with God and it doesn't matter what anybody says. If you ever get to that kind of a relationship with God that you don't hear His minister speak and you think that you've got to some great place with God, I'm here to let you know you're deceived.
Amen.
If it's not profitable to grieve a man of God, then there's a reason those scriptures are there. But it has been made known to everybody but the man because he was in prison and didn't know it. And others could see it. Others could see it in his life and knew that he was bound and knew that he was in prison. But he in his own thoughts, in his own mind, was the one, the chosen one, the special one. It was special to get time with your pastor. Sometimes some one-on-one with him, it was special. The man was a very guarded man. So is your God. Well, I've got open access to His throne. I can go there anytime I want, anytime I choose. I hope you truly have that kind of faith and that you're truly making access to His throne and the scepter is granted to you to enter in, to access His throne. If it's just the right things to say and it's the right things and you could tell me, oh yeah, I can get to the throne of God anytime. Have you ever been where you tried and couldn't? God tears me up thinking about it. My pastor, Brother George Pike, said he went through 1 year of his life that way. He said for 1 full year, he said he couldn't get a breakthrough with God. He said he went on preaching and going and preaching and teaching and praying the prayer of faith, but he couldn't get a breakthrough. He said it was like heaven was shut to him. And he questioned and pleaded and wept before the Lord for a year. And then finally the Lord opened up and he goes, I wanted you to know what it felt like to be cut off. He said it was the most miserable thing in his life ever. But there was something that held him on with faith to keep on going. See, Jesus, the Son of Man, found that when he screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because there had to have been a cutting off. There's some things, brothers and sisters, that we haven't observed, we haven't witnessed, we haven't fellowshiped, we haven't walked in. Sometimes there's things that aren't expressed because we haven't the foundation before us in our thoughts that we could receive the things because we take them in the wrong dimension. And I have that problem in this church. I got men that are repeating what Brother Rob has said. No words found in the scriptures, and they quote it, they speak it, they talk about it, but they've never witnessed it. And it causes problems and complications and causes people to die and to fall away and to lose faith and reject this word and reject this message and reject this Jesus. Because they could quote, but it's not vindicated through the manifestation, the revealing, and the revelation. There's a difference. Brother Pike used to speak to his brethren real clear. Real clear. He would speak and say, well, and he would unveil personalities and speak and say, well, this is where the man's at. This is what's happening. No, it wasn't strife and it wasn't discord. It was for we that were spiritual and walking that we could comprehend and understand. If my dad as a flight instructor was teaching somebody to fly, he could be saying, look, I was with this man. I tried to teach him. He got overconfident. He said the worst ones that you ever taught to fly airplanes were doctors. Their education was high and mighty, and they had everybody looking up to them. They're great doctors. And he'd teach them to fly, and pretty soon, man, they were so book smart, they'd get into books and read, and pretty soon they're going to teach him how to fly the airplane. And they quit learning, and they're the most dangerous in the sky. Doctors. You say, why do you say that? When we're speaking about the things of God, because there's patterns, brothers and sisters. People get educated and they think they got some kind of an education or something. Well, I'll show you and I'll teach you and I got this worked out. I've got God, I'm walking with the Lord. I don't need you and thus, and thus. And just watch for the crash. It's the same thing. Things are in the same patterns, man, and God shows them the same way. Don't be proud. Don't be puffed up in your fleshly mind. Don't think you're something when you're nothing whatsoever at all. Really, truly find what it means to yield to God. What it really means to yield to the Spirit of God. What it really means to surrender. What it really means to die. What it really means to let Him live. What it really means. That's what we need to be. And there's different measures. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Let's press for more. Let's look for perfection. We need to learn to guard after our conversations. We need to learn of what we're speaking. What is the context of my conversation with you? Why am I saying the things that I'm saying? Why is this expression coming forth? Why would I be speaking about this? If I'm speaking, I want to strengthen and encourage and enlighten. We have to find out what is the motivating factor. If I slander you, is it going to make me look better? If I show your inabilities or inferiorness in your life, does it make me that I've already got those conquered? Because I could show you that you're a drunken and no good. Does that mean I conquered drunkenness and being no good? No. This is the problem best, the mind of man. The mind of man thinks I could show you your problem. It means I've got conquered. No. You conquered by example. You see, we got to be careful, brothers and sisters. Very careful. I made a statement about a man not long back. And I said, got his own children's blood dripping off his hands. And he don't see it. Brother Pike expressed about this man blind and in prison. What kind of father would want his own children's blood dripping off their hands? They don't see it. And sometimes preeminence could be more important than their own children's blood. Whether take a chance with your own children's soul and life that you could be esteemed of being somebody. You could show me all my problems and failures and shortcomings and things like that. That doesn't make you have the attributes of Jesus. You might discern problems in my life. It won't give you the attributes of Jesus. Those can be even be the gifts of God. But what makes you judge another individual? Are you judging him out of your pride and out of your self-righteousness and out of your understanding, out of your achieving, or about your quotes or something that you learned from a great man of God? Is that the way we judge people? Or we judge them only one way, and that's by the mind of revelation, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. And when you make judgments that way, you judge out of love and concern, and you esteem and lift up, and you help and you strengthen. When you find people that's got the answers for everything to people, and they're always this and that, and analyzing and speaking and speaking and speaking, watch out. You say, well, don't you have an unction to know all things? Yes, I do. But I have also the word of wisdom that comes with that unction to know when to speak, the knowledge that he reveals to me. Because the knowledge, brothers and sisters, I can't always unveil it, because there's a word of wisdom that allow me to bring forth that knowledge. Just because God shows it to me doesn't mean I can speak it or share it. A mother and a father in their relationship or in their marriage, the father could speak things to the wife that he would never speak before the children. He could speak things and share things and speak about things. Two physicians could do the same thing. But a physician doesn't want to kill hope and inspiration of hope in a patient. A patient that has hope could get better. A patient with no hope, the doctor could do all he can, they're going to die. We got to be careful, brothers and sisters. We got to be very cautious. We got to be so cautious with our words, what we speak. I was testifying to you tonight. I found repentance in my heart for allowing thoughts. I wasn't repenting of what words spoke forth from my mouth of unbelief. I haven't spoke words of unbelief and doubt. Nobody in this church, I stand and challenge you right now to stand up, and you come to me and have enough God in you to come to me and put your finger in my face. Let me know and tell the brother in here that I'm a liar. But I don't think there's an individual here that's heard me confess doubt and unbelief in God. But I've had doubt and unbelief thoughts come to me, and it vexes my spirit. But what about when you speak them? What about when they come forth out of your mouth? What about when you let them express? God have mercy. God have mercy. I don't like the thoughts. Thoughts are unclean and unpure. That's where I want to live. That's where God's at. That's where he dwells. That's where he lives. So we got to learn to worship him and praise him in thought. Love him and fall in love with him and find an intercession going through your thought life continually. Find an intercession and a praise. This is why some of you can't worship God when you come to church, because it's not in your thoughts. You come in and, well, they want me to sing, oh, how great my God is. You know, they want me to sing, oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, holy, holy, holy. They want me to. But see, it's not in your heart. And it's not making a contact to the throne of God. But boy, when it's in your heart and you're worshiping and praising and singing, you might be in the wrong key, the wrong tune, but there is an anointing. And there is an anointing that goes forth. There's an anointing because it's been in your heart all day. I wished I could sing. I'm sorry I can't. I wished I could. Y'all would be in trouble. I'm telling you what, you'd be in trouble. You know, I minister and I preach and I don't know when to quit, but if I could just sing the praises to the Lord, brothers and sisters, you'd probably get sick of hearing me, because, man, it's in my heart. I find myself singing in my heart and worshiping the Lord. I find it in my heart, but I can't express it with an utterance. I have troubles expressing the things in my heart in a verbal utterance to preach the word of God to you. I have a problem with expression when I just talk to God. I find myself praying in the Spirit. I find myself praying because my words don't express how good my God is. I'm sorry. I know I asked you to stand a minute ago. All right, Brother Ed, you can play How Great Thou Art or sing something, holy, 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 whatever. I love y'all. I appreciate Brother Ed. I appreciate his loyalty, his faithfulness, his sacrifices, him and his wife both. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate your labors. We just got a very large sum of orders in today from Africa for more printing and more things. And God's going to make a way, brothers and sisters. I know things are a little bit tight, but my God is making a way. Hallelujah. He's never left us nor forsaken us. And the thing is there's been needs going on for weeks and months and years. Amen. And we just keep on going. We didn't have no money when we built this building. We didn't have no money when we did so many things that we've done. Amen. And so we don't look to money. We don't look to economics and economy or things. We just do what God asks us to do. And he makes a way. Amen. So as we labor for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we press to do more and more for him, pray for me. Amen. Pray for Brother Rob that he can keep his thoughts established on God. Pray that I can continually to expect my God to continue to move and reign. Amen. And he is. We're serving a good God. Hallelujah. I have no fear of what's coming to America, because I'm not part of America. Judgment comes to America. I'm separated from that judgment because I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. And the thing is my earthly days could come to a cease right here standing in the soil of the United States of America, but it's not my end and it's not my judgment. Amen. Because I'm not part of America nor of this world. I am a truly blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High King. I'm eternal. I've already passed from death unto life. I'm living forever. I can't die. Amen. I am truly living forever. I'm not seeking after eternal life. I'm not looking for eternal life. I am eternal life. Amen. I'm not waiting on a resurrection. I am the resurrection. And you say, well, you think too highly. This has nothing to do with me. It has to do with Him. I could say that because it's Him speaking in me. It's Him that put the insurance in my heart. It's Him that put the faith in my heart and the trust in Him. He has never forsaken me, never left me holding the bag ever one time. You say, what does that mean? He has never left me standing. Only time that I found myself that way is when I was in the flesh. And then He was letting the flesh be exposed for it could get out of the way. And let God live and let God rule and let God reign. All right, let's sing this song and we're going to close the service. Hallelujah. I love the Lord Jesus. I love Him with all my heart, with all that I know and all my being. Amen, because He's worthy of much more than I could give. Amen. But to the best of my ability, I want to express my gratitude and thankfulness and my love for Him. He's my God. He's my Lord, my King. He's everything to me. Without Him, I'm nothing, absolutely nothing. I've heard the old expression, ain't worth the powder to take to blow you into hell. I know that might be kind of worldly and kind of crude, but amen, that's exactly me without God. I have not, you can get more minerals. I don't think I got no gold in my teeth, but the little bit of metal that's in there, I don't know what they call that stuff, but that metal's worth more than I am outside of God. But in God, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. As the diver was diving and searching for that pearl of great price, I'll tell you, when you're in Christ and truly a son of God, you're priceless. There ain't nothing this world can't purchase you. They can't have you. They can't touch you. They can't even get to where you're at. Amen. That's where we're at in Christ. Those lively stones. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to be a son of God? Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is so good. So good. I wish I could stand here before you and say I'm worthy. And I'm not. But He made me that way. But I'm talking about as a man. I wish I could find something to be worthy about. But He's worthy. He's God. He's good. He's everything. You love Him?
Amen.
Fall in love with Jesus. Start finding yourself talking to Him every day. Talk to Him when you're at work. Talk to Him when you're driving. Talk to Him when you're sleeping even. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, you'll find it happens. I tell you, I've woke up before out of a sound sleep. And I find my spirit intercessing with the Lord. And I find things going through me, cleansing and washing and regenerating, rejuvenating me. And I find myself, and I'd like, wake up. And it's like, wow, I want that in my spirit all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Ed, you're supposed to be singing.
And I will praise.
You love the Lord? Close your eyes and lift your hands. Praise you, Jesus. I've just enjoyed standing in the presence of the Lord. Not in a hurry. Just standing in the presence of my God, my King, my Lord, my salvation. I don't feel weary. I don't feel weak. I don't feel tired. I don't feel pain. I don't feel agony. I don't feel stress. Because I'm just standing in the presence of my Lord. I could stand here all night long if you had the strength. And I could continue to talk about my God and about the love I have for Him and the love He has for me and what He's given me, all that pertaineth unto this life and all to life hereafter. I'll tell you, it's inexhaustible. The love, the praise, and the admiration, the respect, the joy, that I have for my God. You know why? Because He's real. He's my God. He's true. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's well. He's talking to me, through me, in me. I am Him. He's in me. Hallelujah. I hope and pray that you're in Him and in me and I in you and you in Him the same way. Because I'm one with Him. You can't separate me from your God because I am one with Him. Amen. I love you and I hope that you can say you love me because I'm one with your salvation. Amen. As Brother Emmanuel comes to dismiss the service, take the love of God with you. Let Him rule and reign and manifest in you. Let Him be your God, your King, your Lord, your salvation. Bring salvation to others. Give people something to desire. Let them see something in you that they feel like they want. When you drive new cars, people might look at you and say, I want a new car. That's not what I'm speaking about. Let them see something beyond a joy that a new car couldn't bring. Let them see a stability that finance can't bring. Let them see a praise and a rejoice and a respect and an honor to an invisible realm and dimension. We're serving an awesome God. I'm sorry I can't quit praising Him. I can't quit testifying about Him. Because my words aren't expressing the love I have for Him. I can't do it. I'm sorry. That's why I can't stop. Because I can't express how awesome of a God I have. And I keep finding myself wanting to express the goodness He is. And I can't. So you say, are you going to quit trying? No. I'm going to keep on trying. When I go home tonight, I hope I find that same spirit of love and admiration and rejoice and praise to Him. I hope I can't sleep tonight as I find myself over there in my easy chair in the spirit, just rejoicing and praising and magnifying my God and my King. Fall in love with Him. Talk to Him and praise Him. Love Him. He'll give you love. He'll teach you love. He'll make you a better wife, a better husband, a better father, a better mother, a better brother, a better sister, a better Christian, a better friend. He'll make you a better employee, a better employer. He'll make you ways that please Him. Amen. That's where I want to be. I want to please God. Let's praise Him and worship Him as Brother Emmanuel comes. God bless my dear brothers and friends there in Knoxville that are hooked up with us. Love you and appreciate you. Pray for us as we pray for you. God is a good God. He's a healer. When your body aches and pains, when the numbers of years start showing up on your body and it seems to be feeble, just remember to look up towards heaven and say, thank you, Jesus, for the expression of life that you've given and granted unto me, Lord God. And I know that your grace is sufficient, and I feel strength of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I know you give me strength and endure to the end, that I can have a testimony and honor and praise that does nothing but magnify and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. It's in your heart. Hallelujah. Let it be seen and made known. Let it reign and let it manifest. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.